Sacred Meditations by Johann Gerhard. Gerhard was born in 1582 in Germany. Born on October 17th of that year, he was born again from above 4 days later when he was baptized into Christ and became a son of God and fellow heir with Jesus. Johann was one of seven children, and although he was born into a noble family, he suffered many trials in his 54-plus years. When he was 15, Johann became very sick and promised God that he would enter the public ministry of the Word if he was able to endure the sickness. His afflictions were also ones of conscience, readily acknowledging his sinfulness and earnestly desiring the forgiveness of all his sins and being declared right with God. He was helped in this by the ministrations, care, and counsel of his pastor, Reverend Johann Arndt. Gerhard entered the University of Wittenberg in 1599 and invested 2 years of his life in the study of medicine. Then in Jena, he returned to his study of theology, doctrine, the scriptures, and early church writings. Near the end of 1603, Johann became acutely sick and thought that he was about to depart this life. He didn't. In 1606, at the age of 22, while still a student, Johann Gerhard wrote Sacred Meditations. It is a remarkable work for someone so young to be able not simply to understand doctrine or even to properly distinguish law and gospel, but also and especially to articulate the depth of the conscience being accused and or excused, as well as applying the Word of God to one's own soul. Surely the afflictions, sickness, and suffering that the Lord brought him through enabled Gerhard to write these meditations with such understanding and application. While one learns the doctrine from the Word of God, one's trials and joys in life put that doctrine into practice by both the hammer of the law upon the heart and the application of the soothing balm of the gospel upon the soul. You are invited to bear that in mind as you listen to these sacred meditations by Johann Gerhard. Meditation 8, The Certainty of Our Salvation. A good hope cannot be confounded. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou still doubting the mercy of God? Remember thy Creator. Who hath created thee without any concurrence of thine own will? Who was he that formed thy body in secret, when thy substance was curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth? Will not he who cared for thee before thou hadst any being care for thee now, after he hath formed thee in his own image? I am a creature of God. To my Creator, then, do I betake myself. What if my nature is corrupted by the devil, and pierced and wounded by my sins, as by murderous robbers? Yet my Creator still lives. He who could create me at first can now restore me. He who created me without sin can now remove from me all the sin which has entered into me and has permeated my whole being, either through the temptation of the devil, through Adam's fault, or through my own actual transgression. My Creator can restore my soul if only He is willing so to do. And certainly He is willing, for who can hate the work of His own hands? Are we not before Him as clay in the hands of the potter? But if He had hated me, certainly He would not have created me from nothing. He is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. It is wonderful that He created me, and still more wonderful that He redeemed me. Never did our Lord give a clearer proof of His great love for us than in His bitter passion and bleeding wounds on Calvary in our behalf. Truly are we loved, since for us and our salvation the only begotten Son is sent from the bosom of the Father. And if Thou didst not desire to save me, O Lord Jesus, why didst Thou descend from heaven? But Thou didst descend to the earth, and didst become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To redeem a servant, God spared not His own Son. Truly hath God loved the world with an unspeakable love, since for its redemption He delivered up His own Son to be smitten, to be crucified, to be put to death. Inexpressibly great was the price of our redemption. Great and marvelous, then, is the mercy of God in our redemption. It would almost seem to one as if God loves His elect children as dearly as He loves His only begotten Son. For what we obtain by purchase, we certainly esteem of greater value than that which we give in exchange for it. And that He might have adopted sons, God did not spare His own co-essential Son. What marvel, then, that He should have prepared mansions in His heavenly home for us, since He has given His own Son, in whom is all the fullness of the Godhead. Certainly, where the fullness of the Godhead is, there is likewise the fullness of eternal life and glory. And if in Christ He hath given the fullness of eternal life, how will He deny us a little particle of it? Truly, God has loved us, His adopted sons, since for us He gave His only begotten Son. Truly, the Son has greatly loved us, since for us He gave Himself. To make us rich, He took upon Himself the direst poverty, for He had not where to lay His head. That He might make us the sons of God, He became a man, and the work of redemption being finished, He does not now neglect us, but sitting at the right hand of the divine majesty, He there maketh intercession for us. What that is necessary to my salvation will He not accomplish for me, since He hath devoted Himself to the work of my eternal salvation. What will the Father deny the Son, who became obedient to Him unto death, even the death of the cross? What will the Father deny the Son, since He hath already accepted the ransom offered by the Son? What if my sins accuse me? In this intercessor do I trust. Greater is He who is for me than my sins that are against me. What if my very weakness terrifies me? In His strength do I glory. What if Satan accuses me? If only this mediator shall pardon me. What if the heavens and the earth accuse me, and mine iniquities declare my guilt? Yet it is enough for me that the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, and He who is righteousness itself, pleads my cause for me. It suffices for me to acknowledge His merit, because mine will not suffice. And it is enough for me to have Him propitious to me, against whom alone I have sinned. Whatever He shall not impute to me shall be as though it had never been. Nor does the fact that my sins are so grievous, and so varied, and so oft repeated, move me in this trust. For if I had not been burdened with sin, I should not so ardently desire His righteousness. If I were not sick, I would not call in the aid of the physician. He Himself is my physician. He himself is my Savior. He himself is my righteousness. He cannot deny himself. I am spiritually sick. I am condemned. I am a sinner. I cannot deny myself. Have mercy upon me, O thou my blessed physician, my Savior, my righteousness. Amen.
Who's so happy as I am, even now the shepherd's lamb, and when my short life is ended, by his angel host attended, he shall fold me to his breast.